brothers and sisters who hear this word, the voice of God has come for your sake. And though it may sound like thunder some days, and though maybe it may sound like it's not even important or relevant some days, it has come for you. And in this voice, in this word, there is a new way of being you. You might wonder about that because you've been you for a long time. But there's a new way of being you now. In light of God's forgiveness of your sins, you are new. And even now you might think, well, that's the same as it's always been. I've heard that before. But let me tell you today that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you now know God, and God now knows you. Not only in judgment, which is how we live most of our days, judging this or that, feeling judged one way or the other, but now you know God and he knows you in grace and forgiveness. Forgiveness for all you've ever done and for all that you've left undone. You are forgiven. Do you understand what this means? It means that you have peace with God and therefore with the world as well. That might come as a surprise to you. You may not feel that peace yet today. And though the world may not know this news yet either, and while you may forget it from time to time, this voice has come for your sake. And this means that because Jesus defeated death, you will be raised from the grave. This is the new covenant, or the new testament, or the new promise that Christ has brought to you. Amen. You know, it is always a little daunting to hear from our pal, the prophet Jeremiah. It's always a little daunting. He's a colorful guy, but he has a hard edge. Have you ever heard of the Iron Chef? You probably have. Well, God calls Jeremiah the Iron Prophet. If you ever heard of a Jeremiad, maybe some of you have. You know, if you have, you know it's a long complaint. And it's a word that's directly related to our book from Jeremiah. It's one of the longest books in the Bible, 52 chapters. And it's almost exclusively a complaint against Israel and Judah, a call for them to repent of their idolatry, a rebuke for their sin. And what was their sin that deserved such a Jeremiad, such an iron prophet? Well, they had turned from God, the Lord, to the gods of their neighbors, to the gods of vice and pleasure and self-centeredness. They followed their own hearts instead of God and his word. They justified themselves. They made themselves right. They believed that they were right instead of repenting to God. And how would God get the attention of such a people who would not listen to him, who thought they were right already? Well, he sends Jeremiah. And at one point in the book, Jeremiah is instructed to buy a new loincloth by God, to wear it, and then bury it. You maybe recall this in the 13th chapter. It's a little strange. God tells Jeremiah that this will show Judah what they had become when they followed their own heart and other gods. He instructs Jeremiah then after he's buried it, to dig it up and show that it is good for nothing. And indeed it was. God says, this is who you are as a people when you do not trust me. God said to Jeremiah, for as the loincloth clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen. Now, on the one hand, here is a new image, at least new to many of our ears, for a relationship with God. The people of God, you are like a loincloth for God, clinging to his every move. But on the other hand, and perhaps more importantly, God says they would not listen. And therefore, like this dirty loincloth, they were good for nothing. And much of Jeremiah goes on like this. It is a Jeremiad, a long complaint. And as much as we follow other gods, as much as we follow our own hearts over God's word, it is a true word for us as well. Yet today, in our reading from chapter 31, we happen to hear one of the few bright spots that Jeremiah brings in this long book, and it is an earth-shaking promise. Have you ever bit into a sour grape? Have you ever bit into a grape expecting it to be nice and sweet, and it turns out just to be, oof, real sour? We've had a few clumps of grapes like this in the past year. They will turn your teeth on edge. Your eyes will squint like nothing before because of the sourness. Well, if most of Jeremiah is like eating sour grapes, getting to our reading today in chapter 31 is like sinking your teeth into one of the sweetest, juiciest grapes you've ever tasted. It is good news, not only to our mouths, but to our ears and to our hearts. Jeremiah starts with some sourness. He says, yes, you have not held up your end of the bargain. You have not feared, loved, and trusted God above all other things, and this has gotten you in trouble. And you've not loved your neighbor as yourself, and this has gotten your neighbor in trouble as well. In short, Jeremiah says, you're a mess. But the days are coming when I will make a new promise for you. I will put my word in your heart, and you will know me from the least of you to the greatest of you. That is to say, it's not about what you've done or who you are. God is coming to you, and what's he going to do? He continues, for I will forgive your iniquity and remember your sin no more. Jeremiah says the days are coming, but we know that they have indeed already come in Jesus Christ. And so when we hear Jesus in the gospel this morning, we know that he is nearing the day of his death. Actually, the ordering of the gospel text today is after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which we'll celebrate this next Sunday. Many are still wanting to raise Jesus up in glory as their new king, perhaps like the Greeks who want to see him. But Jesus reminds his followers that he will be raised up in a different kind of glory, on a cross, a crucifixion. And what a disappointment to his followers this is. And even Jesus' soul is troubled by this necessary action. But at that moment in our gospel reading, a voice comes from heaven saying, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again. And Jesus responds, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of the world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Here is the new covenant. Here is the new promise. Now, when we are as far as we are in Lent, the fifth Sunday in this season, we know what's around the corner. We know that we're soon going to hear the story of Jesus being raised up. I want you to know that this is necessary, not just for the liturgical calendar, but it's necessary for Jesus to draw you to himself. That while God's people would not listen, the voice has come for their sake. While you would not listen, the voice has come for your sake. In Jesus Christ, you have peace now with God. Since he has defeated death, so too is death defeated for you and for your whole family in Christ. What a sweet grape you have been given in this news. And it is sweet. Now, this doesn't mean that you might not lose some things along the way, as Jesus warns. Some of us may even lose our beards. It could happen fairly soon. I read the gospel this morning in a new light, hearing Jesus' words, those who love their beards will lose them. But those whose wives do not love their beards may go home happy. We may lose things like this that we treasure. Jesus says so. But when you have his word, you have something much better. You have life eternal. We may even lose, and this is no joke, our lives. In fact, we will one day. We may lose them for the sake of the faith. But Jesus says you will gain eternity, for you are held in his hands. This is the new covenant, the New Testament, the gospel of Jesus, that he has defeated sin, death, and the devil for your sake. So I want you to hold on to this sweet grape today. Now you are holy loincloths. Now you may freely cling to God in all that you do. For God has put his word in your heart. That is faith. And it is yours by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.